in the indigo. The third eye, located between the eyes, this chakra deals with intelligence and psychic power. Anyway, that is it, the device. The start. This is the start of this conversation because there's much more for you to know. And before I go any further, because I'm sure you're going to want to know a lot of stuff, I'm going to take you to the second genius of our organization, Corporate Bill Nelson, who is absolutely incredible, and that's why we're all here. But his almost partner, I guess you could say now, James Clark, wonderful guy. I just recently got to know James very well, and he is going to be a future part of what we do in our organization, and he is helping to build a device that's not going to be just good for now, or the next 2 years, or the next 5 years, even the next 10 years. Indigo is built for the next 12 to 15 years. And I'm going to say one thing, and James is going to talk about it. We actually, for the very first time, have the ability with the Indigo to connect it to a computer and have it upgradable to as we expand, because the Indigo is already going to be made to do all kinds of stuff that the software is not ready for yet. And so that way, when the software catches up, Indigo really is going to have to connect it to the internet and basically press my button and they're going to talk to each other, and the Indigo is self-programming, so it will always be up-to-date, matching the actual software, hardware and software as a match, so that way this technology will be able to move together in the future for the next 10 to 15 years. So everybody, before I go any further, I'd like to introduce you to James Clark. Come on, James.
Thank you. So the Indigo device, you need to make it in the microphone. So the Indigo device was based originally on the SCIO. When we looked at it, the SCIO, as Brian said, was developed 6 or 8 years ago. It's basically using technology of the day. And it didn't really have some of the features that nowadays we can easily implement, so, and some not so easily, but at least they're possible now. But back then there's some things that we weren't impossible to do, definitely not in any kind of manufacturing situation. I'm not as loud as Brian. So what I'll do is I'll briefly introduce you to a few of the things that are significantly different about the Indigo over the SCIO, and I'll try and give you some simple examples quickly, and then after that, if you want to ask me a few questions to clarify, that would be fine. So the first thing we did was the sensitivity of the device is very important, because that's how the device is getting information. If the device doesn't know what it's picking up, it's not going to know how to decide what to do for the person. So we have to basically come up with a way to increase the device's sensitivity. Now, the old devices use the SCIO, I call them the old ones now, but the SCIO uses 10 to 12 bit resolution. And what that means is, to make it easy, is let's just call it 10. So it's a 10-bit resolution, means it can divide the 5-volt signal, for example, it picks up on your body down by 1,000 different divisions. So it can pick up somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 millivolts to 5,000th of a volt. So that was okay. However, nowadays, that's not very good resolution. We use much higher things than that in everyday, even, you know, your CD players and your DVD players. They've skyrocketed over the last few years. And because of big commercial products like that, a lot of the technology has also skyrocketed and made it feasible basically to implement much better technology for, you know, basically everyday manufacturing, not just aerospace. So what we've done is we've bumped it up. Now, to give you an idea, when I say 10-bit resolution, this is binary. And I'm not going to explain that too much, but basically every bit of resolution you go up, because it's binary, you double the amount of basically sensitivity that you can pick up. So if we went from 0 to 100 and then we binary went up, we could now pick up every 50 in there, right? So we double it again, we can pick up four times as much. So we went from 10-bit to 16-bit, which is a 64 times increase in sensitivity. And what that really means is if we're talking about distance, for example, let's say we're talking about the kilometer. So you've got something a kilometer away. Well, that's pretty far. If there's something in between that, you're not going to be able to pick it up because we can only measure in 1 kilometer increments. It's great for, you know, a jet flight somewhere to Australia. You can go up about 1,200 kilometers. That's meaningful. If you're talking about go up 32 meters, then or feet and turn right, and that's where the grocery store is, but you can only stay in kilometers, it's not too useful to say go a kilometer because that's the closest you can stay and turn right, they're going to be way past it. And to find it, you're not really going to know where anything is. So the increased resolution is very important. And another example that might actually clarify this a bit better, if you have 3 suits to go outside, one with a winter coat and some maybe some nice boots or something, Calgary style, and then you had maybe just some jeans and a long sleeve shirt, and you had swimsuit. Those are your 3 options. So now you got to decide which item of clothing are you going to wear outside. Now, if we have a thermometer that says can only say 0 or 100, right? We're going to go, it's below 0. Okay, we got that one. That's pretty much either long coat or winter boot. Having said that, minus 40 is a lot different than minus 1. So if you just say below 0, you're taking a gamble, I'll get the winter boots. Okay? So the next thing is to say, well, it's above 0. What's that really tell you? Which set of clothing are you really going to pick? So it's really hard to make that decision because are we talking 40 degrees Celsius or are we talking 3 degrees Celsius? So this is where the sensitivity comes in. The more sensitive it is, the more you can base your decisions on more accurate results. And basically, if I told you it's 5 degrees or 6 degrees or 14 degrees or 21 degrees or 35 degrees, you have a much better idea, much easier time deciding what to do. There's much less guess factor in there. So that's the idea behind the sensitivity, and we've increased that immensely, 64 times actually, so 6400%. So the next thing that we did with the skeo was when we looked at it, the indigo, basically we needed a bit more feedback for the user. Anybody and all of you have seen the skeo. There used to be LEDs on the front. There's 5 LEDs sort of indicating briefly what was happening. It couldn't basically display too much information to you because you only had 5 lights to work with. In this case, we've actually put a full graphic LCD screen on the front. So something more like what your cell phone, that sort of thing would have. Now the device can actually tell you things if it wants to. I've got to speak louder, apparently. So when the device can display more information to you, you get more feedback. Now, this is part of the future-proofing that Ryan was talking about. Applications that come up, for example, maybe there'll be color therapies. I don't know. But the thing is, the hardware is there, right? You don't have to buy another device. This device will update itself. Basically, the user will be able to download and update the device, and now your new therapy or communication is there already. With the lights, you can't do much with that. So we went to graphic screen. You have a lot more user input, user feedback, and a lot more possibility. So from there, the next thing that we did was we have a much higher sensitivity, as I said. Well, that's a lot more data. So instead of 10 or 12 bits, so imagine, you know, a sentence this long, we're talking about a sentence almost twice as long. So that's fine in the device, but we have to send that information to the computer so the computer can actually analyze the signal again. So we had to really increase the communication rate of the USB port. We went from 9,600 bits per second to 115,200 bits per second. And so this device samples much faster and with much more data and much more accurate. And this may, I'm not sure, be why Bill Nelson actually noticed a much more real-time response. Things happen a lot to this way. If a command is sent to the device, it sends it over 10 times faster. The data coming back comes back 10 times as fast. So things happen a lot quicker. The next thing that we did was the straps, basically for the limb straps, the head harness, all those, they all have sensors on them. Now, the PO device had some fixed ones. For example, there was a fixed ground strap, and there's some other, basically, items in there. Right, that were fixed. Now, with the Indigo, every single connection to the body, pull up some outputs on one side and make them inputs on the other side, switch that on the fly and faster, as I said, because of the faster data rate. So that's another thing that makes it a lot more flexible. It allows much more room in the software to do whatever they want to do. So I say they, because I don't write the software. So that's the next thing that the Indigo has going for it. Is there anything specific, Brian, that you want me to, there's so much that I'm trying to give you a brief overview here, so. Okay. So the other thing that we both touched upon, I'll talk a little bit more about, is the fact that if you have a CPO and there's any kind of firmware update, and firmware sort of the software inside the box itself, you would have to take that device and send it back to Budapest or somewhere where it's been manufactured in that case. They would have to reprogram the device, take it apart, reprogram it, possibly remove some of the chips, put them back on, rebuild the device, send you back the device. That is not how things are really done nowadays. As much as possible, as anybody who's had any electronics, phones and things know, basically what you really want to do is plug the device into the internet, download your update, and you're done. You don't have to send your device away. Now, that is something we're definitely implementing on this device. So, no more basically sending the device away to get updated. And updated doesn't mean bug fixes, which it can, but it also means things like I mentioned before, any therapy comes along for the screen or something like that. You don't need a new device. You just need to download the updated firmware, and you'll be able to load it yourself easily. That's the goal. So I think that's probably enough. Does anybody have questions? Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. Never mind that.
We will be doing some...